Recovery 101. Guaranteed so much fun. From the Tombstone Studio, two gals and a crazy bro. Listen, download, and play again. Share the show with all your friends. No need to be feeling blue. The mandate here is Rule 62. Laugh along with the boozy news. The news that's not fit for booze. So come on and join the fun. From Tombstone, Arizona, ladies and gentlemen, it's Recovery 101!
Thank you to the Monty Man for our marvelous new Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAFA, or none of them, guys. We don't even speak that well for ourselves. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce P. As always with
Shelley
and Tara.
And by the way, you hear the new Monty Man jingle because we kind of had to change our jingles because they all talk about Mark and Mark is not here.
Yeah, so, screw Mark.
Mark's not here.
Mark's
man.
Gone. We have Tara.
Well, so what we need is we need jingles that if you're going to mention the show hosts, we need it to be Tara instead of Mark.
Pretty please.
Now,
shout all about Tara O'Hara.
So, you guys will have to be creative because I know that Bruce doesn't rhyme with a lot.
Loose.
Well, yeah.
Caboose.
Well, it kind of fits.
Booze.
So anyway, if you guys want to do, if you guys want to make jingles up, you can send them to us. You want to send us an MP3, and we will use it.
Shoes.
We will.
Deuce.
Sometimes.
I think we're done. Sorry.
Juice.
Sorry.
We already said that.
Have a little Bruce juice.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, yeah. We used to talk about that in college.
No,
anyway,
thanks. You keep all that over there.
Anyway, if you guys want to do that, we will use them at least once.
Pretty please.
If we only use it once, it was probably not a favorite. But you never know. Sometimes we get ones when at first we're like, oh, that's interesting. And then they become fan favorites. So you never
Yeah.
We've had some fantastic jingles sent in the past.
And it'll be online forever,
yeah,
regardless. So that's a plus.
That's right. It certainly will. So, well, there's not a lot of... We bantered last time about what's been going on.
Si, senor.
We have... We got anything spectacular coming up?
I'm speaking at a meeting on Friday, so that's
yes,
going to be
you
cool.
Are.
And that'll be my
that's
first
true.
Time speaking at a meeting since I moved out here a little over a year ago. So that's I'm pretty excited about it. I think I've been accepted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for that magical moment.
It's so weird. It's so weird because I got asked to speak at a meeting in an area I don't even live in, and it's a 3-hour drive from here.
But well worth it.
You know what? It's a CA meeting.
Dope.
So I'm all for it.
I want a road trip with you guys.
You should road trip. You could go on that. I
That's
like
what
it.
I'm saying. Yeah, I want to do it. That'd be cool.
What, you got anything coming up, Shelly?
I know
there's something that you could banter about that you didn't talk about at all.
What?
You got this big play coming up.
I talked about it on the last show.
That.
Did you?
Yes.
Where are you at,
Hello,
dude?
Did you? Are we on the same plane?
Look,
or existence here?
Look.
Let's do a montage. Doodly doo, doodly doo,
yeah.
Doodly doo.
You know what? They said pot destroys your short-term memory. I said that's bullshit.
What were you talking about?
I think it was
yeah,
the
exactly.
cocaine that
then
did
I
it.
Said what were we talking about again? So, yeah. So go figure. So, you know what that means?
Yes, I do.
Oh, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. Oh, you guys got good dudes that time.
That was awesome.
You guys have good dudes.
I'm picking it up.
So
man.
Again, the shout outs to Steven, Dakota, Randy, Dan, Stryker, Alexandra, Jane, Lynn, Lori, Faith, Sally, Natalie, John, Carol, Georgette, Jack, Kareen, Bill, Damon, Fran, James, Johnny, Alan, Lee, and our new Patreon site. new on the Patreon site, David. So the first one is from Damon. And this guy, so this guy gets pulled over for being in an accident. He's going the wrong way on the highway.
Yep, that's a tip-off.
This guy's name is David Browery. He's of Hockessin, Delaware.
Hockessin? If he's going the wrong way on the freeway, I'm guessing there's going to be like drugs or alcohol involved in this.
There is alcohol involved. Well, and they discovered
the shock of that surprise.
There was they discovered there was alcohol involved when the guy tried to flee the scene, and they could just kind of follow the odor of alcohol to see where he went. But listen to what this guy racked up in one little episode here. So let's see. He got charged with a total of 13 traffic violations.
Damn.
Including his fifth offense, DUI. This guy's 33. Wow. He's had five DUIs already.
Nope, not one of us. Nope.
Leaving the scene of an accident, failure to report an accident, failure to report a DUI-related accident, driving on a suspended license, careless driving, driving the wrong way, no left turn, failure to remain in a single lane, two counts of driving across the median, no proof of insurance, and no proof of registration.
It was including those.
Yeah, those are all part.
That wasn't 13.
You know, when I first
counted, I'm pretty sure that was 13.
When I first read the story, I thought those were previous things, but no, this is all in one go round.
It's all one shot.
Okay.
Good job. So is that a record?
I don't think that's a record.
I mean, it's
always
a record.
Failing to report a DUI related.
I was wondering about that.
Why is that a crime? Because who is going to report it if nobody found out about it? Do you know what I mean? So how could...
You know what I think?
Inquiring minds want
I
to know.
I think that this is... Well, I haven't seen any out here yet, but in the LA area, they used to get these high-speed chases all the time. So the thing is...
I don't know how that could even happen. Like, how's anybody going high speed on any freaking freeway in LA?
That's true.
Like, that's the place where people blow their brains out on the freeway.
Yeah, but they'll also go down side streets and stuff at 60 miles an hour. But what I found out is very interesting about that. Every time you get on a new street, if you're speeding, you get a speeding ticket for that street. So these guys guys that are on like five freeways and 12 surface streets just racked up 17 extra charges. And on all of those streets, you can also get, you know, reckless driving and all that stuff. So.
Okay, no wonder their roads are so well maintained.
Actually,
they really weren't that bad compared to Ohio, man.
Well, the roads out here in most places are pretty
they're
good.
Lovely.
I mean, the highways.
Lovely, yes.
The highways are like the one you saw, the one where you go to work.
Yes.
They just decked that whole thing out. Was
last fall.
It was pretty good.
Or last winter.
Yeah, so I know it was nice.
The second story
is
from Alan, our roving reporter.
Okay.
And what it is it's an update to something you asked about on the show before. He was listening to a dumpster fire, and he said the drinking age in New York is 21, cigarettes are 18. I don't know if there's any limit on energy drinks, but I see plenty of kids drinking them, and I can't remember seeing anyone refuse service for caffeinated drinks or being underage. And he said Mike Bloomberg, when he was mayor, went off and got large sodas, trans fats, and whatever banned, basically all the stuff he had to stop, and if he couldn't have it, we couldn't. And he finishes off with, by the way, I love the new co-host, Tara.
Aw, that's really sweet.
See, I told you were in this.
Cool, man.
Yes, you would like Alan. He's very cool.
Right on.
Now we have international reporter Fran. Because Fran, the last couple days, has been tearing it up. So in
Paris. She's a rock star. Yes.
So in Paris. Nope. Those aren't mailboxes. Paris rolls out sidewalk urinals. And I saw a picture of them, and there is a guy peeing in one, and he is just leaning up against like this thing that sort of looks like a red mailbox.
Paris, you're doing too much.
That's got flowers on the top.
That's nasty.
Oh, you don't even know. I mean, it's really obvious this guy is peeing, and it's kind of pissing off the store owners and stuff.
That reminds me of something. I saw this thing the other day. It was a video that I saw on Facebook, and there was this guy at a festival, and he's wearing like a fanny pack, and I think he's all like leather daddied out. But I digress. The point is, he's sticking cups in urinals, and they're like those ones where there's like four of them.
Is he drinking it?
Yes, dude.
I saw that. Yeah.
Oh, it was gnarly.
Okay, that's just really gross, and I really drinking didn't
it.
To have that
like
in my
it
life.
Looked like beer. You're welcome, Shelley. I was like, what the holy hell kind of freak show is this?
Oh,
well. These-
oh, speaking of, no, a friend of mine actually on my Facebook list visited San Francisco last week, and you know they're having a sewage problem.
Yeah,
actually got a picture of somebody just middle of the day taking a crap right out on the street.
They spent $500,000 cleaning up human feces off the streets in the tourist areas of where Farmers Market is.
Look, I mean, like, I understand that, like, people are homeless. It's a problem in all these different ways, you know. But, I mean, there's got to be, I don't know, man. There's got to be some kind of, like, a line drawn.
Well, there you go. Sidewalk urinals. Maybe Paris has come up with a great plan.
Okay,
we just don't know
well,
yet.
So listen to this thing.
I guess.
So I'm sure I'm going to pronounce this wrong, but they're called Yuri Trottoir. I don't know. Right here.
Yeah, Yuri Trottoir.
Right. So that word.
Cool. Okay.
It combines the words for urinal and pavement. They're not all that subtle, according to the story. They're bright red. And they're put in heavily trafficked areas. So everyone's going to see people peeing. And it's, I don't see how women could use it at all. It's got to just be for men. Because,
of course. Because, you know, men's need to pee is more than our need to pee, apparently.
Getting the proverbial shaft again.
There is one. The men have the shaft. That's true. There's one directly next to the Seine River, and the picture is this guy peeing in it while this tourist boat is going by.
Oh, jeez.
And it's right next to Notre Dame Cathedral.
Notre Dame.
And it says, if there's any confusion, there is a large white and red sign on the side of it that says that's what it is.
I wonder if they're going to start putting those in the tourist brochures.
And a cartoon of a man peeing.
oh, God.
They're using this to try and supplement existing toilets in the area. But it's kind of a fail. I mean, it's really...
Like, they could have made them blend in a little bit better.
Well, and supposedly,
I mean,
supposedly they're,
on,
like,
y'all.
Very eco-friendly. And when you pee in these things, there's, like, hay in them that's supposed to mask the urine. I don't get that because I know if you pee in grass, you can pee in it not very many times and you start to smell it. So anyway, so this
Don't
guy,
ask how he knows
what was
that.
This guy's name? Paola Pelizan, who owns a Venetian art store, said, there's no need to put something so immodest and ugly in such a historic spot. Talking about being right next to Notre Dame Cathedral.
Ding, ding, ding.
And so, yeah, it's really kind of disgusting.
International fail of the day.
Damon.
Yeah, you.
Damon That's back gross. Again. Oh, this is sad, though. This is sad.
Oh, no.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So this woman, Angela Kenneke, who is a news anchor woman on one of the stories, has been reporting on all these overdoses because there's been all these fentanyl overdoses.
Right, right.
So she had to do the story of her daughter overdosing on, but she was with doing it because Shelley and I were talking about a thing earlier where someone had put a thing in the newspaper.
Oh, yeah, a woman, and actually this was like a boozy news story, like maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, something like that. Her son had OD'd and died. And she sent the obituary into the local paper, and they changed the cause of death from, she was very clear that he died of a heroin overdose. They changed it to died suddenly. That's the euphemism that most papers use for people that have what are considered socially unacceptable deaths.
Right.
Like suicides and drug overdoses and stuff. She made them print a retraction and reprint her original obituary because you pay for those things. I mean, it's not like it's free.
Right.
Because she thought that, you know, as much as the family was in pain, she thought it was more important that people understand that this isn't something that happens in dark corners. This happens to everybody's family. So, and it kind of went viral, her letter to the paper, because she was pissed.
Good for her.
Yeah, kind of went viral.
The really sad thing to me about this story, besides the fact she lost her daughter, 21 years old, girl, amazing looking girl, like really cute and everything, and you know, and they didn't realize that she was an addict, which of course is quite common. But what really caught my, and she wanted to do it because she wanted people to know that that's what happened. So yeah. That, you know, if it helps one person kind of thing. But what really caught my eye down here, well, it doesn't say it in the story, but it said it in the video I was watching, where she said something about, you know, about treatment being so expensive, and she wished there were a cost-effective way to help treat opioid and heroin abusers. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's called program.
Welcome to the club.
Put a dollar in the basket if you have it. And if you don't have it, don't put a dollar
just
in.
Just keep coming
and,
back.
And it's kind of like one of those things. It's like she didn't know, you know, that there's a thing that you can go to basically for free, which has helped literally millions of addicts and alcoholics worldwide. Yeah. So I thought that was really kind of sucked.
Does suck. And I just, there's a kind of a similar situation. The mom wasn't real high profile like that, or, you know, even locally to my knowledge. But there was a young woman who died a few years ago, and her name was Marin. She was from Columbus, the Columbus area, and her mom started Marin's Hope. And now they have sober houses in the Columbus area. A girlfriend of mine runs them, and is just... These people, what they do for people in recovery are just amazing. I just wanted to give a shout out to Marin's Hope in Columbus, Ohio.
Very cool.
And then the last story I found.
Oh, dear.
What could go wrong? So,
here we go.
There's an unlimited number of things.
They just say his first name, and it's almost like a program thing. Alexander K., a native of Volgograd in Russia, was out with his buddies in Russia's Tver region. He's 44 years old. They were drinking.
Vodka. Vodka.
So I need
They're not alcoholics. It's just a cultural thing. Okay.
Yeah, oh, yeah, right. So it was a men-only party, and they were kind of out in the woods. It's a men-only party with lots of vodka and dirty jokes. In the middle of the party, the men noticed there was a raccoon. They said it kind of looked like a cat, like a big cat.
Well, this couldn't go wrong.
And they said it was cute and black and white, fluffy animal with huge green eyes and a gorgeous tail.
Oh, this is going to be bad.
So we decided to have fun and caught the beast. Now...
What does fun mean
so
when you're
this
drunk
is a
in
quote,
Russia?
This is a quote from the guy. A friend of mine told me the raccoon was a kind and caring animal. Since we had no women with us, I thought that the raccoon could take care of me.
Oh, geez.
So he...
It was like the first episode of Oz on
HBO. He pulled
out
his penis and sat down on his knees in front of the animal.
The raccoon
suddenly viciously attacked the man's penis and bit off a large piece of the man's pride.
No leg crossing time or anything for that.
He lost almost half of his penis. Blood was gushing out of the lacerated wound. His friends did everything they could to help, and they called paramedics. Surgeons said they would not be able to do anything to recreate the penis. They only managed to stop the bleeding and sent the man to a Moscow-based Institute of Urology for further examination and treatment. The emergency room doctor commented, "We were shocked at what..." Of course, I don't know how this is in Russian, but
we were shocked
at what we saw. How could anyone ever think of doing anything as stupid as that? And he was lucky that the beast was healthy. We examined the body of the raccoon and did not find rabies. Copious amounts of vodka and wild animals seemingly do not go well together.
Man, I'm glad I never got that drunk.
You know how they say tequila makes your clothes fall off? So apparently in Russia, it's vodka makes his dick fall off.
So. Ow! And that, my friends, is the end of the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. What happened?
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
We're back.
We are back.
We just had an amazing discussion. I'm going to get to watch Tara massage Shelly's ears.
No, it's a therapy.
It's auriculotherapy.
That's as close as I'm going to get, apparently.
And it is done as part of the burgeoning new business, Mama Sage's, Mama Sage Mystical Wellness.
Yeah, that's Mama it. Sage Mystical Wellness.
Yeah, and when that gets all up and rolling, we'll put links and stuff
on the page.
For the page, and we'll put it on the show and all of that shizness. So we have a topic.
Badass services offered there.
We have a topic that's similar, yet completely different from a topic we did last show.
It's the opposite. It's opposite day.
Yes, it's opposite day.
So last time it was, I don't want what you have, and this time it's, I want what you have.
Right. Yes.
So, Shelly, give us an example of it could be whoever. It could have been a sponsor. It could be someone you heard share at a meeting. It could be anything. Yes. Give us an example of a I want what you have person.
I have the perfect one because it was the first time I ever connected with seeing someone living true self-esteem. Not overweening pride, not boasting where there's nothing there, but actual, she really liked herself as a person.
That's I was going to say, thank you, Shelly. I really appreciate
that. No, it wasn't you. Her name is
You're
Teresa.
You're boastful. Let's not go there.
Her name is Teresa F. If you ever get, she speaks all over the world, actually. And we managed to snag her for one of our Sunday speaker meetings. She's from Puerto Rico. Horrific background story. And she's telling her story. And half the people, there's 150 people in the room. Half of them are, you know, fresh out of prison, and they're just sobbing. I mean, people are crying and
where
laughing
was this
at Pomona.
Oh, yeah, big meeting.
And really powerful story. And then she gets to the end of her share, and she's wrapping it up and everything, and she sort of does a recap about, you know, when I came from this, and I went through this, and look at me now. I am beautiful. And it was just the way she said it. And I got, I'm getting chills now.
That's
really
cool.
The way she said it kind of shocked me into, because it wasn't, she wasn't saying I'm hot, damn, or anything like, she meant as a human being, but she was a beautiful woman, but like as a human being, it was just the way she said it that made you want to be in her orbit. I want that.
Like she felt comfortable in her own skin.
Yes.
And she was cool.
Yes.
With who she was.
And she felt that as a human being, she was now beautiful.
That's really cool.
And that moment, I was like, that was the first time I consciously remember thinking, I want what she has. I want that. I want, because I didn't have that at that time. And I still, you know, I think a lot of people struggle with that. So, yeah, that was the first time I remember consciously thinking that.
How about you, Tara?
So there are a couple of people that come to mind for me. Like the first one is my sponsor, Jamie N. from Columbus. And she's just like a really awesome person. I mean, just a really awesome person. Like for one thing, like she has this gorgeous short hair and she just like rocks it and she's confident and she's like higher power centered and she stays in the steps. And, when you hear her speak at meetings, it's the same kind of thing. Like she says this stuff that's just like you're captivated. You can tell that her connection with the God of her understanding is such that she knows that she can get through anything as long as she doesn't take one drink today,
right?
You know, and I mean she's just beautiful inside and out, and I continue to want what she has. I mean, I still talk to her once a week. She's just phenomenal, man. And she has grown and I have grown. And, you know, she continues to teach me new things even though I'm living out here. So, like, that's really cool. And then there's this other lady. I've talked about her before. I heard her share on this app that I have, the Speakers app. And she was speaking at Founders Day. I think it was 2005.
Nice.
And her name is Chris C. from Coshocton, Ohio. And
from where?
Coshocton, Ohio. Yeah.
God, that just sounds like a place to party.
No, it's really small. Really small. I think she said that she's like one of, she was at the time whenever she got sober, one of like five women in the whole like area in recovery. Welcome to Tombstone.
I was going to say.
Yeah. So at any rate, during this share, she's talking about just her life as an alcoholic woman and how she did this and that and blah, blah, blah. And she was talking about how the program has just done all these things for her and for her son and for her as a woman and just all this stuff. And what really got me was towards the end of her lead, she said something to the effect of, she said, I had this epiphany, you know, and I realized that even seeds are turning into flowers and embryos are turning into babies and the night is turning into day without any help from me. And what I realized was I had to surrender to the creator of the sunset or keep doing it alone. And what I found is that this is the easier, softer way.
Yes.
And that helped me like really turn it over, you know, whenever I was really struggling with letting go of things. And I wish that I remembered that powerful moment more frequently. She's just really, and I had an opportunity to meet her at a meeting that I started with a girlfriend of mine. She spoke at our first meeting and gave her lead. I met her through a friend, a mutual friend, and it was really a beautiful experience.
There was a guy I met in early recovery, and his name was Mickey B. And
I've heard that name.
He was big in CA at the time. I mean, he had 20 something years, like when I got clean. And what I dug about this guy and what this guy really did for me was the whole Rule 62 thing. Because I used to go to meetings and there's a time and a place for everything. There's a time and a place for Rule 62 and there's a time and a place for Real Serious. But it's like everyone that I saw at meetings, I was like, everybody was like so overly fucking serious. And I mean, it was like, you know... And I was convinced, I'm like, I'm never going to have fun anymore. I'm just never going to have fun. And I heard this guy speak, and I went up to him after the meeting, and I was going to ask him about, you know, tell him how I really like to share. And when I'm walking up there, he pulls this picture of a baby out of his pocket. And this baby has this gigantic fucking dick. And he goes, hey, did I ever show you my baby picture? And I'm like, and this is a guy... with two decades of recovery. And I looked at him and I'm like, and I'm cracking up and he's cracking up. And he's like, yeah, he's like, don't take yourself so seriously, man. He says, you know what? If there was, you know, we didn't get sober, you know, to become a glum lot. And I remember hearing that. And the thing was when he was speaking, he was funny, but he had recovery woven all through it. And I remember how he was sharing funny episodes about shit that was really fucking tragic. And he's like talking about his own life and he's like, oh yeah, I remember that time I overdosed. And you know, and I'm like, the fuck? I never heard anyone share like that. And I'm like, and he's like, look, he goes, I want to take away from the tragedy that's alcoholism. But you know what, motherfucker? I survived. And he's like, I'm here today to talk about this. He goes, I'm not here to, you know, be in my pity pot all the time and how horrible my life was. He goes, yeah, everybody's life's horrible before they get sober. But once you get sober, you know, we get sober, we don't get somber. And he's like, you know, you got to have some fun in recovery. And I remember hearing that guy and I'm just like, and Shelly, you know me, I'm like way overly serious.
You are Captain Inappropriate.
Hey, I don't go around showing people a picture of a baby with a gigantic dick. Say, have you ever seen my baby pictures?
Surprisingly.
No. That is
if I had
surprising.
One.
I know, seriously.
If actually, I had one, I might.
Actually, what usually when people... You guys need to knock it off. The dogs are going nuts.
Down.
And X is kind of smelly, by the way. X came in the room. I'm like, okay, who's farting? And then I realized it was actually just the dog.
Did you give him any tostada yesterday?
Shelly.
Oh, yeah, I think
did
I
you
did.
Give the dogs tostadas with refried beans? I told you, I specifically made sure they got no
I
bean.
Don't know. You might have got... Well, anyway. But when people are making jokes about dick pics, about guys sending women dick pics. He sends them his dick pics. Pictures of like Richard Nixon and Dick York and, you know, yeah, I'll send you a dick pic. And then, yeah, and then they get a picture of Dick Clark.
Oh, yeah, no, I've done that lots. I got a bunch of dick pics in my. And when you start to run out of them, you know, Dick Van Dyke, and then you start to run out of them, you send some obscure ones like Richard Burton.
Richard,
like, you
Nixon.
Don't even know who Richard Burton is, do you?
No.
He was in the movie Cleopatra with Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know who you're
was
talking
married
about.
To Elizabeth Taylor like 187 times.
Right. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. So, Shelley, anybody else?
What was the topic?
I want what you have.
Oh, right. Sorry.
I want what you have.
Nobody
You're
wants
such
what
a
I
creep.
Have.
You're such a creep.
That was not quite Barry White, though.
Sorry, I'm chewing ice again.
I think that's an iron deficiency.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what my doctor said.
That's not what I heard chewing ice was.
And as I mentioned, Captain Inappropriate, I don't know, there have been quite a few people over the years that I've said, oh, wow, that's pretty really amazing listening to them talk. But I think also there's the example, not necessarily when you hear somebody talk, but you see how they live their lives and you think, oh, I want what that person has.
Roger.
Roger would be one of them. But I was actually thinking of somebody who wasn't in the program, a woman I used to work with, Marge. She wasn't always necessarily the nice, like you wouldn't say, oh, she's a really nice lady or whatever. She just was constantly doing things that you found out later she'd done that were just freaking amazing. Like she would, and I actually got the idea from her. She would bring sack lunches for the homeless people, you know, that kind of thing. Trying to think, and she would, you know, give to anybody any parents had kids that were selling stuff, and you know, she'd buy stuff to support them, and she was always just doing something to help other people, but she never really talked about it. You found out later.
There's a lady I know like that from Columbus too, and she's just a really beautiful woman. She is in the program. She's in a couple others, and just all her sponsor has her do like 5 things that are nice for other people that nobody knows that it's her that did it. A day. And if somebody finds out, then she has to redo one or like do something different.
Yeah, I've heard of that. You know, there was a time which the cat eventually got out of the bag, but I had a guy in program who taught me how to paint Christmas windows. And he's like, I'm going to teach you how to paint Christmas windows, but every year I want you to do the library and I don't want you to tell anybody. And you know, and now I can tell people because I can't do the library anymore. But Shelley was working at the library, and I tell her one time, it didn't even, I don't know, I wasn't even thinking about it, and I'm getting the paints together, and she goes, where are you going? I go, I got to go paint the library. And she's looking at me, and she's like, you paint the library? Because nobody knew.
Aw.
Well, and I didn't rat him out. Somebody saw you. 1 year.
Well, two things happen. One, I'm painting the windows one day because I always go when they're closed. And I'm painting the windows and this woman like freaking literally hops out from like behind a bush and she worked for the newspaper. And she's like, oh, I caught you. And oh, we're going to do a story on this. And I told her, I'm like, we can't do a story on this. And I go, because I can't tell anyone who I am. And then she agreed. She goes, well, look, we'll do a story. We just won't say what your name is. And so... And they took a picture of me painting the window, but it was from behind, so they couldn't see my face. And then there was another guy. I was painting something around the corner from the library that I got paid to do. And I'm painting, and this guy walks up. What was that guy's name?
Alan.
Yeah. This guy walks up, and he goes, that type of window painting looks really familiar to me. And I'm like, well, I do windows all over town. And he goes...
Like the library?
And the library. And I'm like, no, I don't do the library. He's like, I'm pretty sure you do the library. I'm like, no, I don't do the library.
And then he came up to me at work that next Tuesday, and he was like, you are married to that guy that paints the windows, right? And I said, well, yeah, my husband paints windows. And he said, I think he paints the library windows. And I was like, I didn't say it. I was like, I can't speak to that. And I did tell him later, because he told my boss, Veronica.
Yeah.
And I said, you guys can't tell anybody.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. You know, part of what he does. It's just a secret. You can't tell anybody. And Veronica's actually like, well, shouldn't we pay? Aren't we supposed to pay for this? I said, no, that's the whole point.
I did for like
20 years, more than 20 years.
More than 20 years,
oh,
because I
wow.
did it. I learned to do windows from a guy in earlier recovery. I hadn't even gotten sober, so I did it for more like 30 years, because I did it every year.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Well, you know what? In a couple of ways. One, because I get to practice doing a window.
Yeah.
You know, in the first of the year. And the acoustics where this window is, when you belt out like the Christmas song, because I have a real tendency to sing Christmas songs while I'm doing it. And the acoustics of this place are freaking, it's like singing in the shower. It's
That's
like
pretty
fantastic.
Cool.
Now, you had one other person that you said. You said you knew a couple people that you really thought about, unless the
well,
one was the other.
Yeah, I mean, woman. Like I was specifically talking about my sponsor and then this other lady. But yeah, I mean, actually there is one more person. There's a guy named Louie, and I love Louie. He's my buddy. And he's just a really, really wonderful guy. He says really great stuff because he lives really great stuff. And he's one of those people that, like, he was sponsored by a woman. He's not afraid to, like, carry the message to whoever needs it, because that's what we're supposed to do, you know. And
right.
And he's just a fantastic man. He's always got a great smile on his face, and he really lives this program. You know, he practices the principles in all of his affairs, and even whenever things aren't great, you wouldn't really know it, you know, because he's got a lot of faith. And it's just a really cool thing, and I'm really honored to know him. I wish that my faith was as strong as I've seen his faith be, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So Shelly, what would your final thoughts on the I want what you have thing be?
Be the person that people want what you have. Scatter joy.
I like that. Scatter joy.
Tara, what are your final words?
I guess kind of like last time, you know, stick with the winners, because you're going to learn a lot of really valuable things. And I feel like we can just always keep learning. I don't really care about what people get from me, because it's, you know, I need to get what I need to get. And if you learn something from me, then that's cool, you know, but it is selfish for me. I want to be with people that know what they're doing and I can learn from.
For me, the final thought on this, I say at the end of every show, which is try and leave it better than you found it and be the example. And if you can do that on a regular basis, then hopefully you'll put out the kind of recovery that other people want to have as well. So try to leave it better than you found it and be the example.
And take care of you.
And if you continue to do what you've always done, you'll continue to get what you've always had.
I'm not a problem child, or a misfit for abuse. I'm not a wild child, or a sorry excuse. I'm not a wannabe, I am what you see. I'm just living down the road till I can find. I'm not a wannabe, I am what you see. I'm just living down the road till I can find me. I am who I am, so let me be. I walk to my own drum beat. I'm never gonna change. Let it be. I am who I am, so let me be. I'm not an overnight sensation. Or a charity case. I'm not a rich kid, I ran my own race. Don't give me sympathy, I can hold my own. I'm just living down the road till I can find me. I'm not a dreamer, I stand on my feet. I'm not a lost cause.
problem child. I'm not a problem child. I'm not a problem child. I'm not a. Let me be.